Good morning and greeting to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Good to see you all here, and I too want to welcome our visitors. Glad to have you here with us this morning. It's good to have all of you here. I know we had a big weekend, big day yesterday. Probably everybody's tired, and it would have been easy to sleep in this morning and stay home. But I'm glad to see you all here because we come to church to worship God and to look into His Word. And in the Word of God is where we find life, isn't it? Praise God. So for a message this morning, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. For y'all visitors or those that weren't here, we've been looking in Ephesians 6 at the armor of God. The last two messages, well, I preached a communion message in there, but two messages I've preached on the armor of God so far. We want to look at that again this morning. Ephesians 6, and let's just go ahead and read verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and in watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The armor of God. You know, we've looked at some of these thoughts here before, but just a quick review. We're all in a spiritual battle this morning. Every one of us that have chosen Jesus as our Savior are engaged in a battle, and it's a life and death battle. It's one that's going to determine where we spend eternity, an eternity of life or eternity of death. And here Paul is telling us to be strong and to overcome, and the only way we can really do that is with this armor that God has provided for us. So just a real quick review of the ones we've looked at. Somebody tell me, what's truth? What is truth? All right, very good. Jesus Christ and His Word is truth. Truth means the quality or state of being true, and there's no other source for that but Jesus Christ Himself. We live in a world where our enemy has done his absolute best to warp and confuse truth. We talked about deception in Sunday school this morning, and that's so real for us today, I believe. The best way to know what truth is to know and spend time with the source of truth. What's righteousness? We're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Somebody want to tell me. Righteousness. Right living. The condition of being acceptable and pleasing to God. Do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? Is my main thought and ambition in life to live a life acceptable and pleasing to God? Is that more to me than just talk? Is it something that I do, the way I live? Does my life prove it? And then we have peace, and we talked about how important it is to stay standing in this battle, to stay on our feet. And here we have peace as the armor for our feet. Peace with God, peace with those around us. And then the shield of faith. Faith believing God and His promises as if they were something that I could touch and feel and see with my physical body. How we need faith like a child of God and believe exactly what He says. And with that faith, we can quench every fiery dart that the devil would like to throw at us. And remember also how important it is to put on the whole armor of God. You think about if we would let off one of these pieces. No, we might not immediately lose the battle, but we're going to start to slide in that direction. Think about how if I get everything else right, I get all the pieces of armor on, but I leave off truth. I start to allow deception into my life. I'm going to lose the battle. What if unrighteousness starts to creep in, filth and sin? I'm going to lose the battle. What if I lose my peace with God? What if I lose peace with my fellow men? Can't win that way. What will happen if my faith starts to shake? And we have that happen to us sometimes. But what if I lose faith that God can protect me, that He can save me in this battle, that He can take me through? If I don't have faith in God, we can't win. What if I start to depend on my own works for salvation, or neglect the Word of God, or quit praying? Friends, we need it all to make it. So that brings us to this morning, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. You know, I thought that I was going to finish this armor this morning, but when I got studying, I'm not sure if we'll make it further than the helmet of salvation, to be honest with you. We'll see how it goes. But what is salvation? What is salvation to you this morning? Somebody tell me, what's salvation? All right. Pretty essential, basic. Forgiveness of sins. It's the free gift of God, the blood of Jesus that cleanses my sins and takes them away. The saving blood that's able to take the vilest of sinners, the worst sin out there, and clean that and make that person acceptable to a holy God. Where would any of us be this morning if it wasn't for salvation in the blood of Jesus? We wouldn't be in the battle. And you know, you think about it, salvation is actually the core reason for this battle we're in. It's the whole reason there's a battle to fight, is because of salvation. You know, you think about at the cross, how Jesus shed His blood. And through that, when I come to the cross and claim that blood, the saving blood of Jesus, that's when this war begins, the war for my soul. Satan is my enemy. You know, it's a battle that's been going on through the ages. It's part of the unseen battle between good and evil that's being fought. You know, I call that a battle. We don't really know exactly what is happening in the spiritual world around us, and I don't think we want to know. I'm not saying we should know. In fact, we should probably not try to know too much about the spirit world. But there is a conflict going on for each one of us and for our salvation. There's the forces of good, the forces of right that are trying to help me to make it through. And so that one day I can be presented before the judgment seat of God as part of the pure and spotless bride of Christ. And on the other hand, we have the forces of evil that's trying to destroy us. They're trying to take away my salvation, to get me to give it up. And so when I face that judgment, I will not be ready. It's a tremendous struggle that's going on between good and evil. A struggle to control our lives. A struggle that's going to determine where we end up. But I'm here to tell you, friends, this morning that there's more than enough power on the side of good to take us through. There's more than enough power to cleanse me, to wash my sins away, and to help me make it to that judgment seat pure and clean. And when we think about that, that is amazing. Jesus has won the victory. But you and I aren't there yet. We looked at that before in another message earlier. You know, you think about the cross, the when Jesus died, when Jesus gave his life and shed his blood, evil Satan, I believe that day, thought that he had triumphed. I think he thought he had won, he had accomplished what he thought was his greatest triumph. But Jesus, through the power of the resurrection, rose again. And he made a way that you and I can be free from our sins. And it turned out to be, in fact, be the greatest defeat that Satan ever experienced. And so we know that the victory has been won. But we need to decide this morning which side of that victory we're going to come out on. Which side are we're going to choose to be a part of? Like we said, there's more than enough power to take us through on the side of good. But that power is limited by the choices that God allows you and I to make for ourselves. You know, wouldn't it have been nice if God would have not given me the power of choice? If he would have just sent the forces of good into my life to take me through? It would have been so much easier. But that wouldn't have been love, if God would have done that. He would rather have me choose to serve him and to allow his power to take me through. And so you think about how that is, friends. The decisions that I make every day, the choices I make, when I choose to be selfish, when I choose to take the second look at something that I shouldn't see, or I choose to gossip, I choose to let anger control my life. Those things, you can put whatever in there. There's lots of things that choices, wrong choices that we make. Those things, when I make those choices, it hinders the power of God that is fighting for my soul. On the other hand, when I choose to do what's right, when I know, when I turn the other way, when I see filth and evil, when I choose to serve instead of being selfish, when I'm tempted and I cry out to God for help, then the forces of good and the forces of right in my life can overcome and can triumph. You know, sometimes when I read the Word of God, when I study into the Word, and I see and I pray and I to God, sometimes I feel like I almost get a picture of this struggle of right and wrong that's happening for my soul, for our souls. It's a struggle that's, like we talked about, that's great. And when I get that picture and I see how so often, instead of choosing to make the right choice or the right decision and giving the forces of good in my life the power to overcome, and when I instead choose wrong instead of right, how I hinder them. I wonder why. What I want to give to us this morning is the picture of the importance of the choices that I make every day. Even the small choices, the choices that seem insignificant, they make a difference in what happens in my life, what happens in my spiritual battle. And sometimes I wish that God could just pull back the veil and that he would show us with clarity, with our physical eyes, that we could actually see that victory that Jesus won at the cross. How Satan has been utterly and thoroughly and completely defeated. And then I could see the struggle that's going on for my soul. And I could see how the choices that I make affect that struggle for good or for bad. The things that I think, the things that I do. I think this morning, if we could actually see that for really what it is, I believe we would live our lives completely different from that day forward. I think we would. And yet God has told us here in His Word, He's given us a picture of what that's like, and He allows us to choose what we're going to do. That battle that we're talking about, this struggle between good and evil in my life, is for the salvation of my soul. That's what it's about. That's what I'm trying to show us this morning, is that the battle that we're facing between good and right is for either for me to experience salvation or to lose it. If we've lost our salvation this morning, we've lost the battle completely. Now there's always hope. As long as there's life, we can repent, and there's hope of salvation for us. But do we get the importance? Do we get the picture of the importance of salvation? You know, our enemy knows how important salvation is. He knows that if he can take it from us, he's won. You know, another thing I had to think about is a lot of times when I have something in my life that tends to be a struggle, something that makes the battle, that makes a battle for me, I tend to want to get rid of that thing. I want to be free of it, to get it away. But here we have salvation as the core reason for our battle. And Paul is saying here, instead of ridding yourself of this thing that's making the battle, he says, embrace it. Take it on. It's in fact actually the best piece of armor you have. The helmet of salvation. Take it, put it on, he says, wear it. Yes, it's the reason that the battle is fought. But it's one of the keys. It's the key piece of defense that we have. But I'd also like to notice what this piece of armor is for. What does a helmet protect? Think about in a real physical battle, a helmet would be to protect the head. Our heads, our brain, it's the control center of our body. It's what makes us function. In a battle, if your head was injured or put out of service, you would no longer be in the battle. It would be over. And so in a physical battle, the head would be a tempting target for the enemy. It's what they would go, one place they could go after to destroy you. And so it was important for them to have their heads protected. So they would wear a helmet to protect their heads. And you think about this spiritual battle we're fighting. What's the significance of our head there? It's our mind. And Titus had a good devotions last Sunday on the battle for our mind. And I'm not in any way trying to double up on him. It was a very good very good thought shared, and we talked about that this morning in our Sunday school, our minds and how the battle is fought and lost in our minds. And so we have here this morning Paul telling us to put on the helmet of salvation. And I believe that that's a key part of winning the battle for our minds. Satan knows this morning, if he can control my mind, he has won the battle. He's also very aware that if I learn to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, I become a very dangerous opponent. So this morning, we can expect the battle for our mind to be long and fierce. It's going to be a struggle. It's not going to be something that's easily overcome. Satan is determined to have our minds. Do we understand the importance this morning of winning this battle for our minds? Of keeping our minds for God? Remember what we had talked about there just a little bit ago about how important the decisions we make are for the outcome of our spiritual battle. You know, those decisions are made in our minds. Our minds is where our actions start. It's where our thoughts are. It's where our decisions are made. And so I find it interesting this morning that Paul is using here, he tells us that the helmet of salvation, the core reason for the battle, the biggest armor, piece of defense we have is to guard our minds, which is also one of the most important parts of our spiritual battle that we face. The battle for our minds. It's important. Paul tells us to put on salvation as a helmet, to guard, to keep our minds. The very thing that the battle is fought over is also the key to victory when it comes to our minds. It's the most powerful defense we have, like we had said earlier. You know, we had talked about how important it is to that we don't lose any pieces of armor. But I believe here is probably the key piece, the one that we for sure want to have, the helmet of salvation. If we lose our salvation this morning, we've just lost every piece of armor we have. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and God all come through salvation in Jesus. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith are all chosen in our minds. So why is salvation the most powerful defense we have against our enemy? Why is it? Well, you think about the blood of Jesus. We talked about this a little bit. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, it satisfied the wrath of God against sin. And we talked about how Satan believed he had gained victory when he overcame and Jesus was killed. The Son of God was dead. But he was wrong, because Jesus overcame and rose from that dead. And through that resurrection and through his blood, we can be saved. Our souls can be washed clean. We can have peace with God. We can be right with God. You know, that Jesus' death and resurrection was total and complete defeat for Satan and the forces of evil. So when you and I, or any other living soul, claims the blood of Jesus in our lives, the devil cannot withstand that. The blood of Jesus is defeat to the devil. When we claim the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins, we are claiming a victory to a battle that's already been won. Satan cannot stand when the blood of Jesus has been applied to my heart and my life. Now, I want to be clear, this is not some magic pill that we can live how we want to and make wrong choices and somehow get a free, easy way out. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But the truly repentant soul that is sold out for God, salvation is victory in that person's life. It's not a victory that you and I are winning. It's a victory that's already been won at Calvary. A victory that Jesus won for us. Another thing I wanted to notice here about this piece of armor is the fact that a helmet is made to be worn. A helmet, this helmet of salvation is to be put on. It's to be part of our life. Paul's not here talking as salvation as a place that we come to, a thing that we once come to and experience and we're good from there on out. No, salvation is something that needs to be a part of our life every day. It's something that we need to put on and wear. It's not a once and done thing. It must be a part of our lives. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Notice how it's not the wicked here that he says falleth. It's the just man that falls. But what makes him just? The fact that he rises again. You know, we're all humans, and at times we're going to make foolish and wrong choices. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But that's what the helmet of salvation is for. How does a just man rise again? It's by repenting and claiming the blood of Jesus. It's through salvation that he can get back up and keep on fighting. You know, Satan, our enemy, he loves to see when we fall. He loves to see us go down and stumble. And he will tell you all kinds of lies when you're down to try to keep you there. But with the helmet of salvation on, we can get back up and claim the blood of Jesus and keep on fighting. It says here the just man falleth seven times and riseth again. That means he keeps on getting back up through salvation, through the blood. He keeps on and on and on. You know, the victory in the battle that we're fighting this morning is not never falling. It's in getting back up when we fall. It's in claiming again the blood of Jesus and having on the helmet of salvation. So how do we make this practical this morning? How do I put on the helmet of salvation? You know, those were all things we knew, things that were everyday to us. But how do you and I wear the helmet of salvation? I believe it's probably going to be different for different people. Some people may find different practical ways of wearing this helmet different. But I have a few things here that I think can help us all. So how many of you this morning, I'm just going to ask you some questions. How many of you have a significant battle in your life that you face? Something that you would perhaps say is your besetting sin. Something that you continue to struggle with. How many? Raise your hand. Okay, good. How many of you have taken that battle to God and pled with Him and asked Him for victory and help to overcome? Again, how many of you have done that? All right. Now comes the hard question. I'm not going to force you to raise your hand. I'll raise mine on this one. You may if you want to. How many of you, after having done that, at some point have still fallen and lost that battle? Good. I've got honest people that I'm talking to. You know, when that happens, it brings doubts into our minds about, is the power of God really enough? You know, God promised that His power would be sufficient to take us through. And we have this battle that we've been fighting, we long to have victory over, and we pled with God to give us victory. And yet somehow we still find ourselves at times where we fall. And it brings discouragement, like I said, doubts. And we can even start feeling angry towards God and frustrated. We might start to think that we're a little bit odd and that there really maybe isn't victory for me. But I can tell you that those are lies from our enemy. They're lies that he's telling you that are not true. But I challenge you to think back. Just think about a time when that happened in your life, where you have this struggle, you've cried to God, you've asked for help, and you still failed. Think about that. And think back before that. I can almost promise you that every time there was a choice before that you made, that I made, a thought that came to my mind, a feeling of bitterness or resentment that I dwelled on, a second look that I took, a lustful thought that I kept thinking about, a feeling of anger that came up in my heart and it felt good to just stew and steam over. And then we lose the battle, and we think it's God's fault. It's not. Friends, this morning, the power of God is enough. It's the small choices that you and I make that either empower or restrain those forces of good in my life. God's given me the freedom to make those choices. And if I choose to focus on the wrong and the evil that comes, no, I can't always help when that comes to me. But if I stay there and dwell there, I hinder the power of God in my life. It's not God's fault or that His power is insufficient for me to have victory. It's the choices that I made that determine whether that power is in my life or not. So a practical way to put on the helmet of salvation, I believe, is to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And now that's a tall order. I understand that. We can't help what we see, what we hear always, but we can help what we do with those things. We can't help the thoughts that rise up in our hearts that aren't wholesome and good. We can choose what we do with those thoughts. Remember what Titus talked about last Sunday, how our minds work, and how when we think one way, it makes it easier to think that way again. And then we think that way again. And pretty soon we have a natural thing, way that we relate to these things that come up. And this is actually scientific. It actually is a real thing that happens in your mind, where a certain thought pattern actually makes a physical, there's a physical thing that happens there that makes that thought easier to think again. And when we have these things that come into our lives that tempt us to take us away, sadly too often, I've made the wrong choice and think about it more than I should. Dwell there, stay there. But putting on the helmet of salvation is going to mean that I'm going to reverse that process. I'm going to decide that, no, I know where that thought, I know where that feeling, I know where that thing that I've seen will take me if I continue to dwell there. And instead of doing that, I'm going to cry out to God and ask Him to deliver me, to choose to not think those things. I'll recognize them for what they are and what they will do to me if I don't overcome. And I know if we've made that choice wrong for a long time, it's going to be a long, hard battle to overcome. But like the songwriter says, each victory will help you some other to win. The good news is that pathway, that thought pattern that we have in our mind that is so normal to us can be overcome. It can be reversed. And we can get to the place where when those thoughts that come, those things we see that shouldn't be in our lives, our natural instinct is to cry out to God for help in those things instead of dwelling on them and staying there. So to put on the helmet of salvation, guard your thoughts carefully. The battle is lost and won in our minds. You know, another part of practical way to do this is to keep that helmet on. Keep it on. You know, so often for me, in my human laziness and carelessness, I'm fighting a hard battle, and I get tired, and I get wore out, and all I want to do is take that helmet off, take the armor off, and just rest, and just take a break. Especially when I've been fighting the battle and it seems to go better, and I just want to let my guard down. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can never afford to take off your helmet of salvation. You can never afford to let your mind go and to dwell on things that you shouldn't. Yes, I know it's hard work to bring every thought into captivity. But I've found in life that whenever I get to the place where I think my struggle's going better, I better be all the more careful. I better be all the more on my guard. I better have that helmet on closer than ever. Because those are the times that Satan is waiting for, just to attack me again. He knows that whenever it goes easy, we so often let our guard down. So often I do. And when I let my guard down, I'm a lot more vulnerable to his attacks. I can tell you from sad experience that if you take off your helmet of salvation, or if you let your guard down, you won't win. You will lose the battle. So friends, this morning, let's keep on our helmet of salvation. Another thing about taking on the helmet of salvation is it means that just man is going to rise again. Yes, there's going to be times, like we've all of us that raised our hands, there's times we failed. We made the wrong choice. We thought about the things we shouldn't have. And we find ourselves in failure or fallen, stumbled. But the just man is going to get back up again. Taking the helmet of salvation this morning means that we're going to rise again. We're going to choose the way of salvation. We're going to choose again to claim the blood of Jesus and to get back up. The devil is going to try to throw all kinds of things at you when you find yourself down. He's going to make you think you can't get back up. He's going to make you think that the helmet of salvation wasn't good enough to keep you up. It won't help you back up. But those are lies. And putting on the helmet of salvation means that we're going to recognize them as lies. And we're going to get up again and keep on fighting. Remember, while salvation is the whole what the whole battle is fought over, it is also the most powerful defense and weapon we have against our enemy. And why is that? It's because Jesus has already won. It's through salvation that we can claim that victory. So this morning, in the battle of right and good in my life, in the battle of my spiritual battle that's going to determine where I spend eternity, the helmet of salvation is an extremely important part. I think I'm just going to stop with that. I have notes here for the sword of the Spirit, but I'm going to go late if I get into that. So I think we'll just close with that. But I just want to encourage us and remember this morning that we do have the power in the name of Jesus. If we have the helmet of salvation on and the blood of Jesus has been applied to our lives, we have the power. We have what it takes to overcome. God has given us the armor necessary to withstand and to be overcomers in the attacks of the enemy. There is victory for the child of God. Don't ever believe the lies that Satan will tell you that you can't overcome. I would like to just read the poem that the upper grade room had on the program. It was really blessed me, and it goes along with our thoughts this morning. It says, "Be strong. We are not here to play, to dream, to drift. We have hard work to do and loads to lift. Shun not the struggle. Face it. 'Tis God's gift. Be strong. Say not the days are evil. Who's to blame? And fold the hands and acquiesce, oh shame. Stand up, speak out, and bravely in God's name. Be strong. It matters not how deep entrenched the wrong, how hard the battle goes, the day how long. Faint not, fight on. Tomorrow comes the song." Let's kneel for prayer.